Today on More to Life, broken boundaries, feeling drained by others' demands, having a hard time knowing where to draw the lines. We'll help you set healthy limits. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, broken boundaries. Are you feeling maybe a little drained by other people's demands? Maybe you have somebody in your life who's only too happy to take as much as they can get from you. Someone who feels entitled to your time and energy and becomes resentful when you try to say no. Maybe you feel taken advantage of by your spouse, your younger or adult kids, an elderly parent, or even a friend. Or maybe you find that you've become overcommitted at work, or the parish, or the community, because you just can't say no to requests for help, even when you probably should. Let us help you fix your broken boundaries at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, I don't know why I'm losing my voice today. I feel fine. As we talk about these very broken boundaries, where people are really taking advantage of you, where they expect so much from you, where they get maybe even belligerent.
Or where we give in even when we shouldn't because we feel guilty about it.
I think we also have to take a look, if it applies to you as a listener, at the things that kind of tiptoe us up to this extreme point. So is there somebody just always trying to control you in some way, offering their opinion, telling you how you should raise your kids, or the people that you should be hanging out with, or the kind of mass you should be going to, or they're just invading your space? Because if we don't look at that as people kind of step up to crossing your boundaries, then we're going to miss the fact that we've kind of left them, you know, a gate open in our boundaries. So whether it's people are just being intrusive or people are really taking advantage of your kindness, your faith, who you are, your availability or lack thereof, we are here to help you set boundaries that are full of God's grace, that help you and that person be your best selves so that you can do what God is asking you to do in your life. Know what those things are and how you should be in relationship with those people.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about setting boundaries, you know, people immediately think that that means always saying no or cutting somebody off. Sometimes that requires that, but for the most part, good boundaries just give us a healthy way to do the thing, or offer a healthy way for the other person to get their need met. Good boundaries don't just help us figure out what to do. They help us figure out how to do those things in ways that are good for us and the other person. And so there's more to setting good boundaries than most people think. And we want to help you do that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Do you have someone in your life who's only too happy to take as much as they can get from you? You know, somebody who maybe feels entitled to your time or energy or resources and becomes resentful when you try to say no. Maybe you do feel taken advantage of a little bit by your spouse or younger or adult child or your parent or even a friend. Or you find that maybe you're overcommitted at work, or your church or your community, because it's just hard to say no, especially when the cause is, you know, worthwhile. And, you know, you feel like, I want to be there, I want to do what I can, but then all of a sudden you feel like you're doing 40,000 things and you're not really able to pay attention to any of them and you don't feel good about any of it, but you can't leave because that would be awful. And
yeah.
We've all been there. But how? But we want to help you find grace-filled ways to set better boundaries that can help you more effectively decide what to do and more effectively do the things you've decided to do so they don't burn you out. 877-573-7825. Once again, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that, and how could it possibly help me set better boundaries, well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections that enabled us to discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation and his work through salvation history.
The theology of the body reminds us that our decision to say yes or no to someone should not be based on how we feel in the moment or how much someone is pressuring us, but rather on what we prayerfully believe allows us to work for the other person's ultimate good, our ultimate good, and the ultimate good of our relationship with them. We often feel guilty saying no because our no's tend to be based on what we're feeling in the moment, more than what we genuinely, objectively, and prayerfully believe is either in our best interest or the best interest of the other person. This is especially true when we feel pressured by others. The theology of the body reminds us that while we're called to be generous, it is possible to be generous in ways that are bad for us and for others. When that's the case, it is even more generous to say no. Our job as Christians is not to be indiscriminately generous, but rather to be thoughtful and responsibly generous.
When someone's asking something from us, especially when they're pressuring us, you know, the question we need to ask ourselves isn't, do I feel like doing this or not? Or even, would they be upset with me or not? But rather, is there a way to say yes to this request that's both good for me and the other person? If the answer to this question is yes, well, then I can say yes. And if the answer is no, then I need to say no. In either case, my yes or no isn't based on how I feel in the moment, which can then be, you know, changed or manipulated. It's based on my thoughtful and prayerful belief that something is or isn't objectively good for me and the other person. You know, if I can take that approach, it gives me an objective way to decide whether to say yes or no, and I can stand firm in my decision and not be pressured to do things that I shouldn't. So generosity isn't actually generous unless it's prayerful, intentional, responsible, and ultimately ordered to the mutual good of all the people involved. Yeah, okay, and so that's some good, you know, some good guidelines, but how do they apply in your particular situation? Well, let's talk it out today on More to Life. The number again is 877-573-7825. Are you feeling drained by others' demands? Having a hard time knowing where to draw the lines? Let us help you set grace-filled limits.
And I want to say that this can sound maybe a little bit selfish. Oh, I need boundaries. I need to protect myself. But no, it's really about honesty. And as we were saying, working for that person's good in a genuine way. So, you know, let's flip this here for a second in terms of a situation I know happened many years ago in our lives when we were moving. You know, we were young couple, young kids, no money, and we were moving. And we asked somebody to help us move. We just asked, but I guess the person felt pressured or, you know, wanted to be the nice guy in the moment. And he said, sure, you know, I'll come by Saturday morning and I'll help you move, you know, the heavy stuff. Great. Never showed up. When we cross our own boundaries to be the nice person, to say that we'll do something, and it's not in our capacity. You know, maybe we're already overscheduled. Maybe we don't think we can do that task well. Whatever that thing is, if we allow that boundary to be crossed, if we say yes, when we really mean I don't think I can or I can't, then we're letting that person down anyway. So it's not a matter of selfishness. It's about best Christian witness and working for the best of both of you, for the best for both of you, in a particular situation.
877-573-7825. We're talking about broken boundaries. Are you dealing with somebody in your life who does try to take as much as they can from you or take advantage in some way? They know how to make you feel guilty when you say no, or you can't even bring yourself to say no because you just feel so bad about it. Well, we want to help you check those boundaries and have healthier, holier relationships and a more peaceful life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to use our gifts and talents to be a blessing to others, to make a difference, to make positive contributions to our church, to our community, to the people that share our lives. But you also give us permission to set limits and boundaries so that we can make sure that we have the time and energy to attend to the things that you've given us primary responsibility for. Help us to organize our priorities, Lord, so that we know what to say yes to and what to say no to. Help us to have clear lines so that we're able to not be resentful, but rather to give generously in all the situations where we can. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to have the kind of boundaries that enable us to know what you would have us do and how you would have us do it, so that we can be peaceful and truly generous. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, broken boundaries. You know, we all can feel drained sometimes by the demands of the people in our life. You know, they just don't mind asking us, and it's good that they ask us, but some people, you know, they take more than their fair share of our time, of our energy, our resources. Do you have somebody in your life who's only too happy to take as much as they can take from you? Someone who feels entitled to your time or energy and becomes resentful when you need to say no or try to say no? Do you feel taken advantage of by your spouse or a younger or adult child, an elderly parent or even a friend? Or maybe you feel overcommitted because you've said yes to everything at work or your church or your community. Well, let us help you fix those broken boundaries and find more graceful ways to say yes and know how to say no. 877-573-7825.
Well, we have an email here from Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. And she said, my parents are starting to feel their age, and they need me to do everything because they refuse to move to a smaller place close to stores and things like that. They live in a rural area over 45 minutes from me. That used to not be a problem when they were able to drive themselves and get around without any issue. But now they're afraid to drive at night and sometimes in any kind of weather. And I have found several places near me that are great for seniors living independently. But they don't want to leave their home. I get that. But I'm the only child living in the area. I have four children who are all under the age of 16 who need me. I can't be there for them all the time, and I know this situation is only going to get worse. I'm really feeling it, especially in this winter weather when they need so much, they're so far, and it's so difficult for all of us. I don't know what to do to convince them that I need them to move closer so that they can get to places by Uber or bus, or at least it wouldn't take me an hour and a half just to commute from their house to mine. What can I do? And that's Sue in Michigan.
Sue, thank you so much for your question. And it's wonderful that you want to be there for your parents. And I'm grateful that you've sacrificed so much to try to be that support for them. We can't always convince people to do what's best for them. And in those times, what we have to do is set the kind of boundaries that allow us to be generous, but at the same time, don't enable the unhealthy decisions that they might be making. And that's a little scary to do when you're talking about elderly parents, because of course you don't want to neglect them, and you don't want to put them in a dangerous situation. And if it really was a dangerous situation, then there are legal things that you could do to essentially compel them to move. But it doesn't sound like you're at that place.
At least not yet.
Thank God. If you were, then you could contact your county's elder services department, or you can contact a lawyer who specializes in elder law.
Or you can even, before you start that, you know, you're saying you're the only child in the area, you get in touch with any other siblings you do have, even if they live far away, and bear a little pressure from all of you on them so that everybody's saying, hey, it's time.
But since what we're really talking about here is more of an inconvenience than a safety issue at this point, then what it's important to do is set clear boundaries that say, okay, Mom and Dad, you know, it would be best if you could be here, because then I could give you much more support than I can this way. But if you want to continue living where you're at, this is what I can do for you, and this is when I can do it. So, for instance, if they need you to take them to the store, you might say, well, I can do that on this day and at these times, but I can't do it on these days. You know, so if you needed me to run you to the store, then it would have to be this way and at this time.
And really, it can be very, you know, minimal. You can say once every 2 weeks on a Thursday. You know, the kids don't have rehearsals on that day. I can do it then. Or Sunday after church, I can do it once a month because, you know, I've got four kids. They're busy. I can't just get out here. But you get to set what that time is, because they're older. They're not raising a bunch of kids. They have less to do. So you get to set that, because right now you're bearing all the burden of their decision. They don't want to leave their home. Who in the world does? But it's all the weight of that is on you.
And it'll continue to be on you unless you set the boundaries like this. Another example might be, you know, if they're calling you every day at inconvenient times, you might say, well, look, I can talk to you at this time, either every day or every other day, you pick, okay? But I can't talk to you at those other times. And so those other times you let the call go to voicemail, and you talk to them in the time that you said that you have. So, and I want to throw, in terms of how you decide what to offer in terms of, you know, going to see them or, you know, help them, you need to prioritize your marriage and family life. The four kids that you have and the needs that they have, that is the thing that you are most responsible before God for. That's the job He's given you that nobody else can. So what happens then is when you've set these boundaries and you say, okay, here's how I can help, here's how I can't, that lets your mom and dad have a clearer sense of whether they can continue to be where they're at.
They'll experience their own capability or lack thereof. So they'll begin to discover their discomfort and say, oh, well, maybe we do have to make a change. But right now, with you enabling them to stay perfectly comfortable because you're doing all the work, they're never really going to come around to that.
And helping them, you know, charitably deal with the reality of their situation is another way that you can honor your mother and father, because this way you don't resent them for the help that they need from you, and you don't accidentally put them in a situation where they aren't safe long term. So if there's more that we can do for you, Sue, on this, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can also check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Broken Boundaries, as we talk about those times when we feel drained by others' demands and have a hard time knowing where to draw the line in our generosity. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference, and she'll have some insights from the Theology of the Body about how we can do a better job setting healthy, grace-filled boundaries. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here. And I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, broken boundaries. We're talking about those times when we feel drained by other people's demands, when we're dealing with folks that seem a little entitled, maybe. Or even times when, you know, we're asked by our work or our church or our community to do worthwhile things, but we don't know that we have the bandwidth for it. You know, are we allowed to say no? How do we say no? How do we set grace-filled boundaries? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on the theology of the body. And she's here today to talk to us about insights from St. John Paul's love book, Love and Responsibility, that gives us some ideas on how to set godly boundaries in our relationships. Hey, Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Greg. Always good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you with us. So you were sharing over the break some thoughts from St. John Paul's book, Love and Responsibility, which is the book that he wrote early on in his ministry that kind of became the foundation for a lot of the ideas he developed in the theology of the body.
Yeah, well, you were talking about boundaries, and I love the topic because it's something I always have to think about in my life as far as not being stressed too far and having enough bandwidth and everything. But it made me think of the fact that he talked about how we're all unique and unrepeatable people, and also when we're in relationships, you know, really seeing the truth about the other person. And so it made me think, well, you know, when we're thinking about boundaries, we have to see the truth about ourselves as well and our unique and unrepeatable gifts and also limitations and what we can manage. And so sometimes I think when we're in a situation and we're feeling like we should do something, you know, because it's a charitable thing, or maybe we don't want to do something because, well, that wouldn't be charitable. But in my own life, sometimes I have to remind myself, well, look, it's not charitable to, you know, to everybody if you're stretching yourself too much that you get, like you were mentioning, resentful or annoyed or, you know, frazzled or, you know, stressed out. And then I think, okay, and if I am like that, then that's actually not charitable to the other people in my life that God has called me to serve or, you know, that are close to me, because then I'm not going to be I'll be stressed out and grumpy and, you know.
Well, you know, but the funny thing about that, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, because when people kind of describe feeling that way, usually that's followed up by, and that just shows what a bad Christian I am, because I should just be able to be joyful and give all of myself all the time and still be happy about it. But the theology of the body reminds us that we are embodied creatures with real limits to us, and that God speaks to us through those limits. I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. Exactly. And I think sometimes we can be frustrated by those limits, but it's something that we can, you know, we're all called to be receptive. That's another theme in theology of the body, that, you know, this is the body God has given us, you know, and the mental capacity and everything that God's given us. And so a humility and a receptivity to that and acceptance of it, that's actually where holiness lies, is in receiving God's, you know, gift and being happy with that, not saying, no, Lord, I want a better bandwidth. I want a better body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I want to be able to push beyond the limits that you built into me, and not respect those limits. And so, you know, being able to hear what God's saying to us through that feeling of resentment or through that feeling of exhaustion or through that feeling that we're just being pulled in too many directions, to be able to say, you know what, maybe the Holy Spirit's saying it's time to set some better boundaries. Anastasia, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference, but also the resources that you provide to Catholic singles throughout the year. That's nationalcatholicsingles.com. And we are taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about broken boundaries, those times when we're not saying no the way we should, or we're saying yes to things that we shouldn't, being taken advantage of by the people in our lives and not sure how to set those better boundaries. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Do we, the people in the pews, have the responsibility to be witnesses to the gospel in the way we act and speak? Yes, asserts the Catholic Catechism. The Catechism defines witness as an act of justice that establishes truth or makes it known. As a witness, we manifest the new person we have put on in baptism, and we reveal the power of the Holy Spirit which was strengthened in us through reception of confirmation. Martyrdom, says the Catechism, is the supreme witness to the truth given us through faith. St. Ignatius of Antioch boldly proclaimed, "Let me become food of the beast through whom it will be given to reach God." The Catechism hails martyrs as archives of truth written in letters of blood. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Broken Boundaries. Do you have somebody in your life who's only too happy to take as much as they can get from you? And whether they mean to or not, it can feel exhausting to deal with those folks and know how to respond generously, but set boundaries where we need to. Let us help you with that difficult task today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rhonda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oregon.
Hi, Rhonda. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, thank you. Good morning. Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. My situation that I am seeking your advice on is in regard to an adult stepchild, definitely taking advantage of boundaries that have been set. And what's making it difficult is that my husband and I raised his 2.5-year-old son, to whom he is a single parent. And so there's the fear of him, you know, using the child as a pawn against us.
Now, you said you raised this child. So were you just, a caregiver a lot of the time? Did they actually, your stepson and this child live with you? What's the living situation now?
This child has lived with us since he was born. His mother unfortunately passed away weeks after he was born. And his dad is just a person, an adult person, who doesn't make good choices in life in terms of just responsibility in general, but also drug use, alcoholism. Uh-huh. And I would say that his dad is homeless. So,
So the child is with you, though, right now?
The child is with us, but yeah. And I've reached out for some legal counseling before, but in Oregon, it's a little tough. So the advice is just try to work it out with the parent. It's really like the best advice we've got.
So what's your specific question then? What's the issue that's coming up here?
So the specific issue is we have boundaries at our house. Like, you know, we don't want him the father to be intoxicated when he comes to visit, and that's probably the biggest one. And then situations where he does get intoxicated and we feel like we have to just walk on eggshells and manage his visit until he leaves again, so that he doesn't say, well, I'm just going to take the child with me.
And it
so
sounds like you're
how best to set those boundaries and keep them in this situation.
Well, I mean, it's from what you described, it sounds like you are doing that already. Is there a particular situation where it's not working out as well, or are you just trying to say, how can I get him to
the boundaries? Like he's going to come again, like this weekend, and I am already preparing for the fact that he will go to the store, buy alcohol, get intoxicated at my house. And then we're just left with that situation.
Do you think, and when you've tried to set limits in the past, I know he threatens to take the child. Has he ever done it?
He has once for about a month and then brought him back.
Wow. A whole month.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's obviously a challenging situation where you have to tread lightly, but the most important thing is your grandson's welfare, making sure that you're taking care of him, from a perspective of Catholic social teaching, the person in any situation that has the least ability to fend for themselves has the greatest claim to the resources and the greatest claim to our concern, right? And so the most important thing is doing what you have to do to keep your 2-year-old grandson safe. So I would say, that he might, I would push him to the, your adult stepson, I'd push him to the point where he's, if he comes drunk, I would say, don't let him in the house, right? If he does, make a fuss about it, I think you have a lot more ground here because, you know the situation better, obviously, but he, I don't believe, is just going to, like, if she shows up drunk at your door and you don't let him in, I don't think he has the resources to come in and take his son away. I think he'll bellow and threaten and whatever, but I think you have the right to sort of stand up strong to that. But of course, it's a judgment call. And you can't push it too far because you don't want your grandson to be put in danger.
Yeah.
So there's no way to get him to accept the boundaries unless you can take a legal route, and you're saying you've pursued that, and you're not getting a lot of good feedback.
I would continue to pursue it as much as you can, because, you know, some kind of protection order, something that, you know, gives you emergency rights for this child where he can't just come in and do this would be ideal.
But I think, you know, let's just play this out. Just I'm thinking through it. He shows up, he's drunk, and he demands to take his son away because you won't let him in the house. Well, you could call the police at that point, and even though this is his son we're talking about, no cop is going to let him get in a car with his son drunk.
Yeah, or at all. You know, he's driving under the influence. That's illegal. So work that angle of it, and certainly they're not going to let him take the baby.
So I think that you have more room to push back than you think that you do.
And I think you can even push back in more subtle ways. So he comes, he's not drunk, but you're saying he'll go out and he'll buy alcohol. Well, you know, when he comes back in, if there's alcohol in the shopping bag, you just say, oh, you know what, you know, you can hang out here if you want. We have to take, you know, we have to go to the store. And you take the baby and you go to the store. And you just check into a hotel or something until, you know that he's, like, slept it off and he's leaving. Like, just look at ways you can break the pattern. That's.
But you're not going to get him to go along with it is the problem, right?
Exactly.
He's not going to agree. There's nothing you can say that will get him to put his son's well-being before his own addiction. That's kind of the nature of addiction, unfortunately. So, you know, I want you to be as assertive as you possibly can be about this for your grandson's safety, and continue pursuing the legal route, even though it's complicated and, you know, kind of a Byzantine process. I think that's going to be your best bet long term. But I would say don't be afraid to push it a little bit harder than you have, because I think it would be I can't imagine, you know, especially if he's drunk, that if you called the police, that they would allow him to take his son away, especially if he was intoxicated. You know, I wish I had better answers for you, Rhonda, but again, when, you know, in a situation like this, if you can't, you know, when you can't convince the parent, who's still the legal parent, to follow what's healthy, then you have to tread a little bit more lightly. So, you know, keep up the boundaries that you've got. Don't be afraid to be a little bit more assertive, because I do think that the law would be on your side. But do continue to talk with attorneys about the kind of a long-term solution to this situation. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. I'm talking about, Rhonda, I think it would be important to be also have somebody be talking to on a regular basis about the best ways to manage these specific situations. So if you have a good counselor in your area that you'd like to be working with, or you want to work with us through CatholicCounselors.com, we'd be happy to kind of provide that ongoing, you know, day-to-day guidance that would help you deal more specifically with those situations. All right, sorry, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Broken Boundaries. Are you feeling drained by another person's demands? Do you feel taken advantage of? Or do you just have a hard time saying no, even when you should? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 37.
Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one.
You know, we're all familiar with this verse, but you hear it and you think, well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anything else is from the evil one? What is that? Well, the reality is, and we were talking about this with Anastasia earlier on the show, you know, when we say yes, when we should say no, we become resentful. And we give the devil a toe in the door to undermine that relationship.
And the other person can become resentful if we say yes, but don't follow through entirely. Anything vague breeds resentment and mistrust, and it really does let the devil have a toe in the door.
And as we say all the time on this program, and this comes directly really from the theology of the body, building the kingdom of God isn't primarily about doing big things for Jesus, you know, building hospitals and schools and all. It is about that, of course. But really, the day-to-day building the kingdom of God means making our relationships healthier and stronger. And if that's the case, then not letting our yes be yes and not letting our no be no and allowing that resentment and bitterness to creep in undermines the kingdom of God, because it's undermining the strength of those relationships. So keep it in mind. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about setting better boundaries when we come back from these messages.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
It's the new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Lisa Popcheck with CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
Steve and Janet Ray here, inviting you to join us in Portugal, Spain, and France as we follow the three children of Fatima and Saint Bernadette of Lourdes and encounter lots of surprises along the way. These moving apparition sites never fail to inspire awe, healing, and a love for Our Lady, exquisite countryside, and our Spanish chaplain, Father Alfonso Aguilar.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Broken Boundaries, as we talk about dealing with those times when we feel taken advantage of or pressured, and we have a hard time saying no or following through with that no. How do we deal with that gracefully? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. So I have a brother that is in a 2-year dating relationship now, and he basically is giving almost all of himself pretty much into this girl. She has a lot of
How old is this brother?
Very young, 20s, both of them.
Okay.
And like, she's got a lot of health issues. He's starting to get health issues just because he's not taking care of himself. He told me that he's in desolation for sure, and that he seems to be joyfully giving to her, but just depressed to do anything for himself. Like, he'd rather do something for her just so he doesn't have to worry about all the things that he has to do. And it's starting to affect his health and just, I mean, like I said, spiritual desolation and such. And he says that Christ poured himself out completely for us, and that is his reasoning for doing that to others. And he thinks he should act like this for everybody, but because she's his girlfriend, like, this is obviously very deep into pouring into her.
And sure.
So just because there's some background noise here, what's the specific question we can help you with today?
So I'm wondering what I can tell him just because I heard the prompt today for your call. Sure. What I can tell him that, yes, Christ did pour out everything for us, but we are not Christ, even though we're called to live like him. We are.
Okay, so kind of how to address that particular objection that he's raising. And it's not that we're not Christ. We are called to be Christ to others. But the question is, why did Christ pour himself completely out? And when did Christ pour himself completely out? Because he didn't always. Sometimes he set boundaries, too.
There are times he went and took care of himself. He needed time with his Father. He needed time not surrounded by thousands of people touching him and taking his energy. So we don't ever look at it, because we look at, as Craig's about to get to, those big moments of total self-donation that Jesus did for us. But we don't really look at those smaller times where we say, and to use the very modern vernacular, Jesus prioritized self-care throughout his ministry. He gave so much. He was there for all of us. But he took those times alone. He took those times for private dinner and private time with his friends that nourished him. He made sure that not every moment was so poured out that he didn't do the things he was obliged to do with the Father or for his own physical earthly body. He did all of that. And your brother is really, he's pouring himself out for this young woman. But I'm also hearing a real sense of fear beneath all of this, where he can say, look, I'm being so holy, I'm giving so much to this girl, but he's not taking care of himself to the point where he's getting depressed, but he can sort of blame it on all of this self-donation and make himself feel good about it, and that's not healthy.
So Jesus poured himself out completely on the cross because that was something that we could absolutely not do, and that was his mission to do. And so when his mission required him to work for our ultimate good and do something that we were not capable of doing for ourselves, he did it willingly. But there were, as Lisa pointed out already, there are many, many times that he set limits, where he left the crowd and went out into the middle of the lake where he couldn't be bothered,
or
on top of
the
mountain, or into the desert. There were times when he did create those boundaries. And so we have a right to be like Christ, and yes, give of ourselves when it's good to do so, and take and set those boundaries when it's necessary to do so. Another thing that I'll point out, in the document Caritas et Veritate, Caritas in Veritate, Truth and Love, Pope Benedict talked about the difference between real love and what he calls sentimentality in the document. And love is only love if it's ordered to the good of the other person and to my good as well. Right. And so it's not just a matter of giving myself indiscriminately. I have to give myself in a way that's actually good and healthy, or I'm just indulging in sentimentality and making myself feel better. And like your brother's doing, he's anesthetizing himself. He's drugging himself with this false love that makes him feel better about all of his problems that he doesn't have to deal with. Right. If he was really being loving, he would give himself to her in a way that was healthy for her and for him.
Yeah, and long term. You know, he would be saying, I'm going to be able to serve you in this way today, but I do have to have a job. I do have to take care of my physical being. I do have to have other friends because I want to be here for us as a couple and for you long term, over a lifetime. What he's doing right now is going to call a halt to his ability to be loving to her long term, because he's just not doing the things that are keeping him being a real person or having a sense of the future.
So there's nothing loving about the way he's approaching his girlfriend or his relationship. And it's important for every listener to kind of understand that. Love is only loving if it actually works for the good of the other person and works for my good, too. The problem here, though, is that this isn't really an intellectual problem for your brother. You know, this is an emotional problem, looking for an intellectual justification. So I think that all the things that we're sharing with you, they're true and they're important, and you should tell him these things. I don't think it'll sink in, because he needs to give this way so that he has an excuse for not dealing with his stuff. And so this is ultimately an emotional problem, not an intellectual one. You can use the argument that we presented here to try to challenge him more effectively on this and come against the falsehoods that he's telling himself about what it means to be a loving and Christ-like person. But ultimately, he needs to hold on to this because he doesn't want to deal with this stuff. And I think that's where you want to challenge him the most, you know, to be able to say that God wants both him and his girlfriend to be healthy and whole and healed. And his approach is actually standing in the way of God working in his life.
So you really want to say to him, you know, if you really want to be loving to her, these are the things that you have to do. And you also want to come at him with a couple of resources for good counseling. And in your brother's case, especially because he's making this about his spiritual life, a good pastoral counselor. Because you want him to have the support so he can talk through this in a relational way, you know, so he can figure out where he's going with this relationship and how to serve both
of them. So if he really is looking for faithful ways to respond to this, you might download the podcast and play this for him. And if he's interested in getting faithful help, he can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call. We had a question. She wasn't able to stay on the phone because she's mom, but from Megan in Ohio, who said, I don't want my kids to feel bad when I can't or don't want to play with them. How to help them understand I'm not mad at them or don't love them? And how can I better communicate that to them? So here's the thing, Megan. Thank you for the question. We've got about 3 minutes, but I wanted to get to your question. I think there are two things that I'd like you to keep in mind. The first thing is use the qualified yes technique. Right? The kids come to you at an inconvenient time and ask you to play with them. You can say, I would love to play with you. Here's a time when we can do that, but I can't do it right now. Right? So you're saying yes to their request for time with you, but you're negotiating the how and the when so that you're not just saying, no, I don't want to play with you, or no, I can't play with you right now, and you're pushing them away. It's, I would love to play with you. Let's pick a time to do that. We can do that after dinner. I'll make some time. We can play that game, or we'll get some story time, or well, whatever. But and don't be afraid to make suggestions that meet your energy level. You know, you don't have to agree to play with exactly what they want to play, right? You can say, well, you know, I would love to be with you. I'm too tired for that game, but I could do this game, or I could do this activity with you, or we could have a quiet activity where we're sitting at the table together and coloring or whatever. I don't know how old your kids are, but you see what I'm saying? You're saying yes and, right? So it's a qualified yes technique. The other thing I'd like you to do, if they're disappointed about that, you can say, well, you know, I'm folding laundry right now. Why don't you guys are welcome to help me? Let's spend some time together. We can fold laundry together, and we can talk, and we can have a nice time with each other. And that's actually a really important way to teach kids responsibility and get time with them. We talk about this a lot on Catholic Home, where we encourage families to have work rituals where families are not just doing work to get stuff done, but using the stuff of family life to bond with each other and build connection with each other. So, you know, if they're coming to you at an inconvenient time and they say, hey, mommy, let's play. It's like, well, oh, honey, I would love to play with you. And we can play later and do these things. Right now I'm folding laundry. Why don't you join me? Right? Or right now I'm making dinner. Why didn't you help me? Or if they're too little to help you, I'll give them, you know, get them some play kitchen items and let them, quote unquote, help you make dinner. So they're next to you learning how to do the task and getting to be with you in ways that actually work. The problem, Megan, a lot of times is that we think that we are obliged to do exactly what our kids ask when they ask it of us.
Yeah, and always be the cruise director, happy and doing all the play stuff.
But what they're really saying is, Mom, I just want to be close to you. I want to feel near you. And so by being a little bit more creative and flexible about how to connect with them, that stops you from feeling so resentful and so drained because you're always having to stop doing what you need to do or want to do exactly what they've asked you to do. There's no rule that asks you to do that. As the mom, it's kind of your job to set the tone of the household and to be able to say, this is how we can be with each other now, and this is how we could be with each other later, and let's work this out together. All right? So using that qualified yes technique and also inviting them to do some of those things with you. We talk more about these kinds of things every day on the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission, Catholic Home. I'd really love it if you would become a member of the Catholic Home community, Megan, and because we answer these kinds of questions every day, us and our coaches will follow up with those things, plus give you tons of resources to help you build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household on mission. Subscribe to the Catholic HOM app today to get the support and community and resources you need. And listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. If you need more help in setting boundaries in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you connect with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there's so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.